What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Trending Thoughts. I'm your host, Tori Smith. I really enjoyed the episode last week with my wife. We talked about our kids coming back to school and let everyone know that we're homeschooling our kids. Chanel's been loading up on supplies right now and doing a whole lot of things to get ready for it. And I know a lot of parents are doing the same. So good luck to all of y'all. We'll be praying for your safety and your sanity as you deal with your kids coming back to school. But this week, I wanted to bring in some special brothers to me. They're older, they're more mature than me, they're more seasoned, and they're doing great things in the city of Baltimore. Dr. Andre Bunley and Mr. Andrew Knox, two of the founders of We Are Us, which is a community-led organization that deals with all aspects of life. I'm talking about helping people get jobs, the resources they need, helping them to get food, and providing them with other opportunities that don't exist in their communities. They are real-life heroes. And Mr. Knox is also the founder and CEO of the Baltimore Brothers, which is a violence interruption and manhood training organization that does good work in the city, in the heart where all the challenges exist, and they're helping to change lives and save lives. Welcome, man. How are y'all doing?
Well, welcome, Tori. Thank you for having us, man. Doing fine. Thank you.
Yeah, I have y'all on here. Like, we just weren't together the other day because the We Are Us movement gave away food over in Park Heights in Zone 15. There were hundreds of families that came out and that benefited from your efforts. You guys are both from the area and have been very committed to this city. Dr. Bunley, why does Baltimore matter to you so much and giving back to others?
Well, because I'm here today, Tori, through all of the, you know, the struggles that I encounter. You know, my mother died when I was 13. I went into foster care. But individuals, and I have a memory of how I got to this point to be able to graduate high school, to be able to go to college, be able to go to graduate school, earn a doctorate degree, and to be able to come back home and to keep my mind focused on individuals who are still growing up the way that I grew up. And so I'm just committed to myself. You know, people usually, once you learn to love yourself, you're committed to yourself. And so when I see those other individuals, particularly black males growing up in the community, I just see myself. And so most people are committed to themselves. So that's basically why I do what I do, because I still love me and I see me in them and I see them in me.
That's real right there. And I know a lot of people that you're around feel that as well. I've seen people everywhere that we've been together that have come up and you've impacted them since they were kids. And I think that says a lot about you and your character. But Mr. Knox, why are you so committed to helping in Baltimore the way that you do?
First and foremost, I want to thank you, Tori, for this opportunity. We appreciate this. One of the main reasons why I'm committed to Baltimore City and people of the city. Growing up in West Baltimore, I grew up with I'm a junior, but I don't know who senior is. And I always wanted to do something like great, something big. And because, you know, my role models was drug dealers growing up. I didn't have, I just didn't have nobody to look up to. Nobody taught me what should I be doing in regards to a man. Like, I just never had that. All my friends sold drugs. So I've obviously the environment, you know, took over my thinking, and I sold drugs. And I spent 7 years in prison, was getting locked up throughout my juvenile life. And after coming home from prison, you know, I just wanted to give back to the city of Baltimore that I helped tear down, specifically West Baltimore, because we always been territorial in our city, you know, but that's where I grew up at. But I have a real genuine love for the poor and suffering of our city, and specifically young black men. We don't want them to grow up like we went, like I grew up, like we grew up. Some of us grew up anyway. So that's the main reason why I want to give back, because and I love my people, is because of my own upbringing, and I want our young black men just have a better chance in life.
And I think there are a lot of men that are just like you in the community that are doing things that have maybe made mistakes in the past but have a passion for helping others right now. But we never hear about them. You know, when you watch the news, all you hear about is all the negative things that are happening, which creates this false narrative that the people in Baltimore don't care about the crime that's happening, don't care about the trauma that's being, that a lot of these kids and families that are dealing with, that they're dealing with, and the drug issues, the challenges that exist. What do you say to those men and women who talk about the problems but don't see the work that you're putting in?
Well, let me say, Tori, one of the reasons that Andrew is the vice president of the We Are Us movement, and Corey Bonds is the president of the We Are Us movement, is because we now have been become a 501c3. We're a corporation now that can attain money. And I say that in reference to this whole idea of what individuals say. We're not ones to do a whole bunch of talking. This is rare for us, and we've done this. We're doing this podcast with you because we see that you're a worker. But we spend most of our time working. We don't spend a lot of time talking. And so what we're going to do for those individuals who are observers, they, when they begin to hear that, wow, people are not dying in Baltimore. Wow. The black men, they're being coaches, life coaches, and role models and mentors for these young black men. They'll begin to talk about that. And so we don't need to talk. What we'll do is, like you as a star athlete, when they knew you caught the touchdown, nobody could deny it. When they saw you got the first down, nobody could deny it, because you put the work in and they saw it. And that's how we want to be with the movement. We want them not to be able to deny our first down of saving 10 lives. We don't want them to deny our touchdown of feeding 100 families yesterday. That was a touchdown. And so that's where we are. We are doers. We're not talk. And that's how people are going to find out.
And that's something that we, you know, it's crazy because I'm saying that to y'all. Like, people don't know what you're doing, they should know. And I'm probably a hypocrite saying that to you, because I never want people to know what I'm doing the majority of the time, because I don't want people to question my intentions. I also don't want people to think that I'm doing things for credit. And I just do it because I care. So to be around y'all and to feel that and have that same energy is really why I'm there. I remember watching TJ Smith. He was on his Instagram live one day, and I'm watching him walk down the street, and it looked like probably 100 black men or so walking down the street in some of the roughest neighborhoods in the city. And I was like, what are they doing? You know, they were passing out flyers, they were talking with people, loving on them. And I was like, man, like, is this something that happens? Is this a one-time thing, or is this something that happens all the time? And that's when I learned, and TJ told me, like, no, this happens every week. And not just every week, multiple times a week. And I was like, man, I need to find out about this. I need to go. And I went there and I saw y'all and what y'all were doing and how y'all were leading men. And honestly, it was like a special moment for me to witness something that if I didn't go to it, if I didn't happen to see this live, I would have never known about it. And I would have been basically absent-minded when it comes to understanding that there are black men in this city that are trying to do things. At the same time, there are people tearing down black men when it comes to being fathers, when it comes to being leaders. And I know that's just not the truth. So to go there and to see that, to see fathers that are leading men, to see people who've made mistakes in the past, giving their time, giving their efforts, it meant a lot to me to be able to see that and to really see lives being changed. Not too many people get the opportunity to walk on the corner to see a brother or a sister, for that matter, that may be out there dealing drugs, taking drugs, doing different things to ease their mind and their pain, and to know that there's a group of men walking the streets, coming to give them resources and actually helping them out and taking them out of their situation. Like, that's life-changing. Like, it's real life heroes going out there simply doing what they're supposed to do. And y'all are able to change lives. And that's why I continue to go. And that's why I will continue to go and be a part of what y'all are doing, because I see something special. And I think that, you know, y'all would agree with that. I know y'all don't like taking credit for it, but this is something that needed to happen. And it's something that people need to know about, because as you continue to mobilize, there's a lot of power in this city.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we, I absolutely agree, Tori. I do want to say that when we seen you first come out and you spoke, you know, that was my first time meeting you outside of going to your charity games with my family down at the Royal Farms Arena. And of course, you know, like Doc said, you know, watching you on the, for the Ravens and the 49ers and the Eagles. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I really didn't care too much about you once you left the Ravens, man. But no, I'm joking, but you definitely, you know, let me just say that, you know, it takes a special person to do what you do. Trust me, you know, and no disrespect to none of our athletes, but we didn't ask you to come out there. You know, you came out there because you seen something and you knew it was special. And me and Doc, we knew what we had, because we spent hours. Let me say, we spent weeks and months organizing on walls of, flip chart paper, what we was going to do in 2018. And sure enough, we met in the office in City Hall for months organizing what we was going to do before we initially put all this together, before we started hitting the streets. And we started with just four of us, myself, Doc, James Green, and Candace. And from that little space that we had on the sixth floor, we went to work, and we wasn't playing around. We was focused. I mean, it to me, it was history, because the results and the outcomes, I mean, here it is right now. And you talking about getting close to 300 men jobs. You talking about putting 50 or so men in treatment, and then not counting the lives that we save. The mediation that we did, the beast that we put out, the families that we fed, the people that we just gave hope to. I mean, you can't even measure that. You know, you can't even measure that. So the bottom line is, if you don't love the people and where you say you live and serve, you're never going to get results like the results we receive. Because like you talked about earlier, we're really not looking for no media attention. We don't want that. Like, we would love for people to see what we're doing and get, you know, be recognized. Like, that's a natural reaction to be acknowledged for your sacrifice, right? But we also understand if the media seen everything that we did, we would probably be like some of the athletes in this world. We'd probably be a LeBron James. If they really recorded everything we've been doing, of course, just in these last, these last 2.5 years. And I'm talking about me and Doc relationship, how we started, we are us, in the beginnings of that. And then it's countless other, as you mentioned the word heroes. I mean, we got countless other heroes in Baltimore City are doing the same exact thing that's not being recorded, and feel the same way you feel about, you know, you want to be genuine. You don't want nobody recording every move you make and every step you make, you know, because you do it from your heart. But I'm honored to be on this team. I'm honored to be with Dr. Bunley, and I'm really honored that you are a part of this, man, because you probably don't see it this way, but you give a lot of people hope, bro. Trust me. And they don't see you as an athlete no more, because they listen to you speak, man. That's the difference right there. And then guess what else? As Doc said earlier, it's action, you know, it's action. Love is action. Without action, there is no love. And without love, there is no action. I mean, so you are complimenting both of them words, man. So you know, that's what we love about, you know, that's what we doing in the city about Baltimore, Joy.
I appreciate the words, man. And I heard you mention something that, you know, I know what you've been doing in terms of helping with beefs. And for those who aren't familiar with beef, that's when people have tension, which tends to lead to another person being harmed. You know, when you're seeing these shootings, it isn't just happening by accident. Oftentimes people have issues with each other and there's something that happens. Well, Mr. Andrew Knox here does work in actually helping to stop that. Can you give the people an example without putting any names out there or letting anyone know of a way that you know you've directly helped save a life?
I'll give you two most recent ones. The first one, myself, Dr. Bunley, Pastor Marvin, Pastor Burton, and several other guys, that it was a situation where some money came up missing, and three guys was responsible for that. And in order for us to resolve this situation, you know, we had to meet with one of the individuals to get it resolved. And the guy just wanted his money or, you know, life was going to be taken. And in today's streets, they don't really put value on life as it relates to how much. And it wasn't a whole lot of money, but, you know, $4,500 in the streets is a lot of money to some people. Most people that works every day, they understand $4,500 is no money at all. But our city, people are being murdered for $1,500 and $3,000. So we raised the money. We raised the money, and also we offered to move the guy, you know, away, you know, from the city or from the area so he wouldn't get his head blown off. And thank God I was able to witness the entire conversation. And normally I'm the one normally take the lead on these situations, but it was another pastor who did that. And we were successful. And not only that, we had a chance to meet the guy in person. So, and that stuff right there don't get recorded, and it'll never be recorded. Although some are, but most of the beefs that we put out, we can't record it out of respect and the sincerity of what we're striving to do, because you're dealing with lives involved and families. Because, and you know, it's unfortunate. One of the things they're doing in our city, Tory, if they can't get to the person, they killing the closest person to them. It can be a grandmother, it can be a mother, it can be a daughter, it could be a son. The closest person, and that's straight out of the movies and these mafia pictures that, like, I believe that concept came from, you know. And I'll give you this last one that me and Doc was involved in. We knew the young guy. He'd been shot already one time. We was teaching him. We was training him. He was in one of our programs. You know, we get the so-called at-risk guys. The ones that, you know, may be in so-called gangs or street organizations, and these guys may have a gun on them. Some of them believe that they can't leave the house without their gun. And if they inside the school, they'll have it in the car or the trash can or refrigerator, or one of the girls will have it. But these guys believe that they have to have a gun every day. That's the mentality that we have to take on, because we can't act like guys don't carry guns in our city every day, because they do. And we have to think like that. But anyway, same situation. Guy messed the guy, drug money up. He didn't really care about Don. At least that's what he told us. But we knew better, because he wouldn't have told us about it. And sure enough, we did the same exact thing. We wind up paying his debt to take the hit off his head. Now, these situations don't always end that way. I'll say this, I just had another one that I did on my own, and Doc know about this, where one guy was murdered. They murdered his cousin, They shot his brother. No, excuse me. They murdered his cousin, and they shot his and they shot his brother, and he shot one of their friends or family members, and I met with him. I personally met with him face to face, and he had already been shot 13 times. He just came home from prison doing 5 years. He was home 2 months, got involved in something that he wished he wasn't involved in. And after me talking to this guy, you know, I told Doc about this and the guys. They had a hit on his mother head, they had a hit on his head, and they had a hit on his cousin head, because these was the ones involved. And the mother was really like his godmother, but that was the one who raised him, and they knew exactly where she lived at. And that was a major problem. That was my concern, the mother, you know. But, you know, what I found out was these guys, Tori, and I say this respectfully, these guys, man, once they get themselves caught up, most of them don't want to be involved in that lifestyle, man. It's unfortunate, but they don't want to be involved in that lifestyle. And some of them are afraid. I'm just being honest. Some of them are afraid, and I could use some worse of words, but some of them are afraid. But that gun gives them power. And then you sit down with these guys and you close the door. Many regular guys like me and you got caught up, don't really want that smoke like the streets. They don't really want that trouble, but they just got caught up. And it's almost like peer pressure, even for adults. And they join these situations, these street organizations, these gangs, and they believe I got to kill. And that's really not the case. And these are the guys where me and Doc and the team, we meet with these guys. They totally the opposite of what society think, man. You know, they just need an opportunity, a chance. And some of their lives are ruined because of bad decisions and the choices that they make and the environments, of course.
That's why I feel comfortable, you know, going in the streets, talking with them in their element, because I feel like they're just like me, right? To where society wants to throw them away, see the worst in them. You know, I look at them and know that, man, they feel like this is the only choice they have to make. Like, it's survival, right? Do we know? And sometimes it's easy to say, man, there are better ways than that. It's easy. And it's easy for me to say that because that was the way my mindset was from the beginning. I saw all the wrongs that was going on around me, and I wanted to make sure that I didn't repeat that. But when a person is in that situation, you have to realize it's not that simple when you don't see hope right there or Superman isn't coming to save you. And that's why I appreciate what y'all are doing so much. But Dr. Bundy, I know you're a man of great words and influence. How do you change a young man's or young woman's perspective? How do you change a young man or young woman's perspective about the streets in terms of seeing other options?
Listen, one of the things that Andrew was not able to say or didn't say, he could say, have said it, that young man that he talked about that said that he didn't care whether or not he lived or died. He really did, and that's why we didn't give up on him. And Andrew forgot to share that he graduated high school. They just complimented him this summer because he worked with the Bureau of Parks and Recreation, and they said he's a good worker. And when we were able to get him back to school, the principal of the school said, man, once y'all put y'all arm around this kid, he was a changed person when he came up here to get his diploma. So that's what happened with this young man. He's graduated and he's working. And hopefully, if he can stay close to his circle of guidance, his life coaches, he'll continue. But as it pertains to your question, how do you get them to do it? One of the things that Andrew and I often, and we made a commitment coming out of those long sessions, that we are clear about, whatever we want people to do, we have to make them do it without forcing them to do it. And so I want to qualify that. We want to make them do it without forcing them to do it. So because we don't force them to do it, but yet we make them do it, the making is in strategy and know-how. It's in what I call the casserole model. My mother made me eat spinach, and I hated spinach. And I told her I hated spinach, Corey, and I told her I wasn't eating spinach. She said, go outside. She found out what was my pleasure, and she knew it was ground beef. And so she took the ground beef, hooked it up with some cheese, and put some spinach in it. She called it a casserole. And when I came back in, I finished up everything. She said, you like that? I said, yeah, I like that. What was this? And she started out saying it was spinach, meatballs, with some cheese. She made me eat that spinach. But she ain't had to force me to do it because she had the strategy to get it done. And so that's what we're able to do. All of us have different sets of talents. Andrew is a very humble man, but he has a keen sense of dealing with people who have crossed that line, regrettably. And he knows how to go some places down that line where it is crossed, but he comes back and hopefully bring them back from the brink if he can. So what we do is we use strategy. Everything is about strategy. Here's what we know. All day long, people seek pleasure and avoid pain. Everybody has a weakness, and that weakness is in their pursuit of pleasure or their avoidance of pain. So what am I saying? Not to be theoretical. What we do is observe and listen to people. When we down there with them in the hood, and we see that dude dressed up, he got on everything, he's fresh and he's fly, but he's a drug dealer. We just listen through our relationships. And when he starts talking about, man, my son, I love my son. My son go, and I go to my son's football game. Now we move to furthering the relationship. His pleasure, his weakness, if you will, is his child. So what we are able to do now is to begin to talk about and guide him away. We will lead him for his mother's boyfriend to beat him while you're away at prison. Do you want to leave him or her to be mistreated while you're away? So those are the nuggets that we begin to drop. Because his weakness, which is really his strength, his weakness is his child. But we don't know that until we stay around them. But Andrew has that ability to stay around them and not compromise who he is as a leader in his righteousness. And then we begin to pull him back from the brink. The other thing that Andrew said and taught me is that, and we don't want to give up on anybody. But sometimes Andrew say, no, we can't mess with him, Doc. We can't go around him. We can't be whatever. Because the decision that he's made, it's going to jeopardize us to try to bring him back. So when Andrew gives those orders, we don't go. Some people are going to get lost. And as they say, they're going to drink their own blood. Because the things that they've done, in the minds of the people to whom they've done it, those things are irrecoverable. So that's how we do it. We just try to play off each other's strength.
Both of you are great fathers. What role do you think we as men and as fathers play in helping to change the environments in the hoods, in the ghettos, and really everywhere in terms of helping to change lives for the better?
I think one of the things that I know we have to do is promote family. We have to promote family. If you marry, we should be promoting, the wife, the children, the natural things, that's not natural to us no more. When I was growing up, I remember that I always wanted my father to take me to my basketball games and take me to practice, because I used to see like some of the other players' fathers that I admired, their father would drop them off because we had a trusted coach, Coach Lawson, great man.
and they could leave us with him. He would drop us home or wait or whatever. But I always wanted, but the fathers just have to play, you know, we have to play that role, that position. So my son is your son, Tory. Tory's son, your son is Doc's son. Doc's son is my son. So that should be our approach, you know, as it relates to when you see a young man on the streets of Baltimore City or around the country. And it should be, everything should be positive for a young man growing up, the interaction that we may have with him. And then also, you know, most of us, we should get involved with any organization that's involving the youth, whether it be Boy Scouts, Boys and Girls Club, the local recreation center or centers, the high schools, the elementary schools. All of us should be in the schools volunteering. We should be engaging every young man that we see in our city, in these institutions around the country. We should be volunteering, going in and out of the juvenile justice system, through our churches, our faith-based organizations. We should be volunteering, going inside of the prisons. You know, that's a real life situation for us. And I think one of the biggest things is the men and our mindset or our mentality needs to be, I'm responsible for every young man on my block first, every young man in my family first. And I know that's a hard thing to do, but if we just help one, because some of us are not helping none. Some of us are not engaging none, no young men. And then you got some men engaging hundreds of young men. So we gotta be more responsible for the young men on our block and the young men in our presence and our families. And then, but we really gotta engage them. It just can't be talking over the phone. We gotta engage them, find out what they wanna do, help them get into programs, help them get training, help them get into sports, help them to educate them, and then invest in them and let them know you genuinely care. And I think, you know, I think that's a great start for our community. You know, I think that's a great start for our community.
And Dr. Bundy, what are your thoughts on the role of the father?
You saw it yesterday, everything that Cat said, but let me just kind of tell you what I witnessed yesterday. So you brought out with you your two future kings, your sons. Well, you're the king now, Tory. They prince right now. You had your two guys with you. They got tired and weary. They went into the car. We got a lot of activity going on around there. We in the hood. Drug activity across the street. People, the whole nine. But you entrusted your son to go to that truck. Andrew assigned somebody to make certain that they were all right. You trusted Andrew enough that he would do that with your sons. We have to do that together. That's everything that Andrew talked about. That your son gotta be my son. My son gotta be your son. And we all gotta come together to help each other. But most importantly, we don't call me, we just model it so people will say, wow, like you're building a reputation right now as just being a regular dude. Yes, you know, you played for the Ravens and you've done all of these things. But the streets are starting to see you as a regular dude because we're doing stuff that's unfortunately irregular, but it has to become regular, as Andrew just stated. That it's got to be regular for us to be in the prison because dudes are coming home to Baltimore. Most of the people who, 70% of the people of 100% of the prisons in Maryland, 70% of them come back into Baltimore City, and there are 24 jurisdictions in Baltimore, in Maryland. There's Baltimore County, Howard County, Prince George's County. Baltimore City is considered a jurisdiction in and of itself, though it's a city. But of all of the prisons, and individuals in Maryland prisons come from all 24 jurisdictions. But 70% of those individuals are in Baltimore City. So, yes, you got to be in the schools.
We got to give a message. You had some youth that squeegee. You heard stuff, negative stuff about them. We had eight of them up there. Andrew had eight of them up there with us yesterday. They were unloading that truck yesterday. They weren't down there in some of the cases being mischievous. Some of them are going to be mischievous until they find us. And we show them and tell them how they should act. So now when they go back to the corner, they're going to remember being in the presence of a Dr. Burns, Torrey Smith, Andrew Muhammad. That's why what Andrew said is important. And people choose people who have the elements of that which they want to be. So we just have to set the example. We have to be life coaches. We have to be in all those spaces.
And that's important because there are a lot of people, you know, I heard Brother Andrew speak to it earlier when he talked about, you know, him wishing the things that he wished he had coming up as a child. I think it's important for us to remodel that because there are a lot of amazing fathers out here, but there are some people who haven't had that. And it's important that, and we get kind of get caught up in like, man, my father wasn't there. Well, your father may not have been there, but your uncle was, or your next door neighbor, or your teacher, or your counselor, whoever it may be. So we just need to make sure that it's all hands on deck. When someone's pouring into you, make sure that you're willing to receive it. And I know it's a tough situation. I mean, we've all been there. When you're dealing with feeling like you're not loved, sometimes you have to realize the love is right there in front of you. And I think it's important for us to be the example, show the way, and literally lead. And that's why, you know, my two boys, Tori and Cam, TJ and Cam, they were there for that reason alone. They know I'm leaving the house. You know, if I'm going to do something, I explain to them in detail what I'm going to do, why it's important for me to go and help someone else, and why they should do it too. And now that they're older, it's really my responsibility to show them that. They're young, right? My kids, it's honestly one of the biggest challenges to me and being a father right now is raising my children in a privileged environment because I didn't come from one. So I don't know what that looks like. How do you teach someone to be humble? You know, how do you teach them to that they aren't any better than anyone else because of what they have or where they live? And I want them to go as early as possible to be around people that are just like them and to know that they are exactly like them, but they're just in a situation where they can help. And I want them to know that at an early age, and they are. And you're right. I felt very comfortable knowing that Brother Andrew had my boys protected. You know, I glanced over there a couple times and I'm like, man, they're loaded up. They the president over there, you know, like I felt very comfortable, and I appreciate that. But, you know, our role as fathers, you know, it's not just about our kids. It's about being that example for everyone. And it's not a thing that where you're on the clock and then you're off the clock. It's a full-time commitment. It's everywhere you go. It's not just your child. It could be the kid that you randomly run into at the street, right? You never know what gem you may give them to help them to move forward in their lives or even change their views on, you know, the way they're viewing their current situation. So we have to continue to push that and continue to be better on our end. But I wanted to say this. I want to personally thank both of y'all for your commitment to the people. I admire it. I respect it because I know how much effort it takes and how much time it even takes you away from your family to care about people that you don't even know their names. And y'all do it every day. It's, again, like I said about being a father, it's not an on and off the clock type thing. It is a full-time commitment for y'all. I know Brother Andrew, I've been talking to him, and he's barely had any sleep because he gone somewhere at 2 o'clock in the morning to help resolve some issues in Baltimore City, so y'all don't see it on the news. I mean, there are real-life superheroes out here, y'all. And every time we act like people don't care, or that people aren't doing things to help in the community, it's a slap in the face to each and every person that's devoting their time and lives to helping to impact and change the lives of people in the inner city, wherever you are. So let's make sure we continue to do that. Let's make sure we figure out how we can help. The We Are Us movement, the We Are Us movement isn't about having a gazillion dollars to change things. It'd be great to have that, right? Now that it's a 501c3 and can operate that way. But all you need to do to be a part of that change is to be there. Your presence alone means more than any dollar, because to show somebody you can care, you can give a homeless man a dollar. But what does it mean if you actually provide for them, give them a meal, have a conversation with them, point them in the right direction, right? Like, sometimes your money isn't everything. That's why it's important for you to complain. If you're going to complain about what's going on in Baltimore City and not actually get off your own couch and go and change things, then you're a part of the problem. And that goes for any city, any area, any town across this country that has a community that may be experiencing some hardship. And it's important for everyone to recognize that, to go out there and do their part and help change it. Because, everyone doesn't have to be a hero. Everyone has a small role to play. We're all just a piece of the puzzle, which is why I love the organization and what these two men are doing, because we're all a piece of the puzzle. There is no huge pawn that's just out there just crushing everyone else. Like, it's about each and every person playing their role and trying to do their part to help change Baltimore and change lives for the better. So I want to say again, thank you to y'all. I appreciate y'all's time today, and I'll see y'all soon walking these streets.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Tori. Appreciate you, bro. Looking forward to working with you, man.
All right. See y'all soon.